Hey everyone, it's Storytime with Aussie Dad, and today we're going to continue reading The Enchanted Wood by Enid Blyton. We're up to chapter 23, A Most Exciting Night. If only we can creep up the slippery slip that runs right round and round the middle of the trunk and get to move faces at the top, we shall be able to help him, said Joe, feeling about for the trapdoor.
I wonder why Moonface didn't slip down there himself, said Bessie.
Ah, he'd think that there would be plenty of red goblins at the bottom of the tree ready to catch him when he flew out of the trapdoor, said Joe.
But I don't believe they know about this light.
He found the trapdoor and swung it open.
Hold it open for me whilst I climb in, he said.
Bessie held it. Joe began to climb up.
But dear me, it was most terribly slippery.
He simply couldn't manage to get up the slippery slip at all. As fast as he climbed up a little way, he slid down again.
He groaned. This is awful. We can never get up this way. I shall keep slipping down all the time.
Let me try, said Bessie eagerly. So Joe slid out of the trapdoor and Bessie crept in. But it was just the same for her as for Joe. The slide was far too steep and slippery to be climbed.
Wisha, 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 said the trees nearby.
Bessie ran to one, put her arms round its trunk, and pressed her left ear to it. She listened.
Tell the squirrel to go, whispered the leaves. Tell the squirrel to go.
Red squirrel, you go up, said Bessie at once. Can you manage to, do you think?
Yes, said squirrel. I have claws on my feet to hold with, and I'm used to climbing. But what's the use of me going? I'm not clever enough to make plans with Moonface.
Wisha, 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 said the trees loudly. Joe pressed his ear to one.
The squirrel can throw a rope down the slippery slip, whispered the tree.
Of course, said Joe in delight. Why didn't I think of it?
Tell us, said the girls.
Joe told them. The squirrel must climb the slide to the top. He must ask Moonface for the rope that is let down for the cushions. But instead of letting it down through the branches of the tree, he must let it down through the slide inside. Then we can hang on and be pulled up.
Oh, that's a really good idea, said Bessie.
Shh, said Joe, as he heard a shout from a goblin up the tree. We don't want them to guess what we're doing.
The goblins are coming down, whispered Fanny in alarm. I can hear them. What shall we do?
We'd better get inside the trapdoor and sit at the bottom of the slippery slip as quiet as mice, whispered Joe.
Go in first, squirrel, and climb up. You know what to do, don't you?
Yes, said the squirrel, and disappeared up the slide, digging his sharp little claws into it just as if he were climbing up the outside of a tree trunk. Joe pushed Bessie inside and then Fanny. He climbed in himself and shut the trapdoor just in time. Three goblins jumped down to the foot of the tree and began hunting round about.
I know I heard someone, said one of them. Well, so long as we don't let them pass us up the tree, they can't do much, said another with a laugh. I don't think you heard anyone. It was just the trees whispering.
Wisha, 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 said the trees at once.
There, what did I tell you? Said the goblin.
They jumped back into the boughs of the faraway tree, and the children hugged one another and chuckled.
I wonder if the squirrels got up to the top of the slide yet, said Joe.
As he spoke, a little sound came down the slide, a soft, slinky sound, and something suddenly touched them.
Oh, a snake, cried Bessie in alarm.
Don't be silly, it's the rope that the good little squirrels sent down, said Joe, feeling it. Now we'd better go up one at a time, for Moonface will never be able to pull us all up at once.
Fanny went first. She was hauled all the way up the slide. It was very strange, so dark and quiet. At last she reached the top. Moonface was there, red with pulling.
A light burnt in his funny round room. He was simply overjoyed to see Fanny. He hugged her and then sent down the rope for Bessie. She came up and then Joe.
Don't make too much noise, said Moonface in a low voice, as he squeezed them all. The goblins are outside everyone's door.
Oh, Moonface, we're so sorry you were captured like this, said Joe. Couldn't you have slid down the slide and escaped? Or did you think there might be goblins at the bottom?
Well, I did, said Moonface. but I also thought that if I slid down, I'd be leaving all my friends behind in the tree, and that seemed a mean thing to do.
Yes, it would be rather mean, said Joe, to save yourself and leave the others. Moonface, what can we do to help?
Well, I simply don't know, said Moonface. I've thought, but I can't think of anything really good at all.
It's a pity Silky isn't here, said Joe. We could talk it all over with her then. She's clever.
We can't possibly get at her, said Moonface. She's locked in just as I am.
Joe! Moonface! Said Fanny suddenly, her face red with excitement. I've thought of a way to help.
What? Cried the others.
Well, couldn't the red squirrel slip down the slide out of the trapdoor and take a note to the brownies in the wood? Asked Fanny. Do you remember how we helped them when we first came to the wood? They said they would always be pleased to help us if we wanted them.
Yes, but how could they help? Asked Moonface doubtfully.
Nobody quite knew, but Joe suddenly nodded his head and gave a squeal.
Shh, said everyone at once. Sorry, said Joe, but I really have got an idea at last. Listen. The red squirrel can tell the brownies to come up here in crowds. We'll pull them up on the rope. Then Moonface can shout out to the goblins outside that he'll tell them the magic spells they want to know. And when they open the door, the brownies and ourselves can all pour out and defeat the goblins.
That's a splendid idea, said Moonface, looking at Joe in admiration.
Simply wonderful, said the girls.
Joe was pleased.
And we'll unlock everyone's doors and they can all join in, he said. My word, this is going to be exciting. Can you see how dreadfully angry the angry pixie will be and Mr. What's-his-name? My goodness, they'll go for the red goblins like wild cats.
Everyone chuckled. The red squirrel touched Joe's knee.
Will you give me the note then, he said. I know where Mr. Whiskers lives, and I'll take the letter to him and let him call all the brownies together.
Joe took out his pencil and wrote a note on Moonface's paper. He folded it and gave it to the red squirrel, who folded it even smaller and tucked it inside his cheek.
That's in case I'm caught by the goblins, he said. They'll never think of looking for a note inside my cheek.
He sat on his bushy tail, gave himself a push, and set off down the slippery slope at a tremendous pace. Fanny giggled.
His tail is a cushion, she said. Isn't he a darling? I do hope he'll find Mr. Whiskers all right.
Well, we'd better just sit quietly and wait, said Moonface. I don't want the goblins opening my door and seeing you're here. They'll know we've got a plan then.
We brought you the tea you didn't eat this afternoon, said Bessie. And she undid the bag. Here are some radish sandwiches, some buns, and some toffee.
We'll all have some, said Moonface, and I've got some pop biscuits too.
So they sat round quietly on Moonface's curved sofa and bed and chairs and ate and whispered, waiting for the squirrel to come back with Mr. Whiskers and the brownies. Whatever would happen then? Chapter 24. The Red Goblins Get a Shock. It seemed a long time before anything happened. Then Moonface pricked up his ears and listened.
Someone's coming up the slippery slope, he said. It must be the little squirrel.
I hope it isn't a goblin, said Fanny, looking rather scared.
But it was the red squirrel. He hopped out of the slippery slope hole and nodded at everyone.
It's all right, he said. The brownies are coming.
I found Mr. Whiskers and he has slipped out to fetch all his family.
There are 51 of them. We'd better let down the rope then, said Moonface, and he let it slither down the slide.
Someone caught hold of it at the other end, and the rope tightened.
There's a brownie there now, said Moonface, and he and Joe hauled on the rope. It was heavy. They pulled and they pulled, panting hard.
This brownie is jolly heavy, said Joe,
and no wonder, for when they at last got the rope to the top, there was not one brownie, but five hanging onto the rope. They leapt into Moonface's tiny round room and began to whisper excitedly. Moonface told them all about the goblins, and they grinned when they heard his plan. Down went the rope again, and this time, six brownies came up on it.
By this time, the room was very crowded, but nobody minded. "We'll have to sit on each other's knees," said Joe, and giggled at the sight of so many people in Moonface's little tree room. The brownies all looked exactly the same. They all had very long beards, though Mr. Whiskers' beard was the longest. It reached right down to his toes. The rope fetched up all the 51 little men, and by that time, there was really no room to move. Everyone was excited, and there was such a lot of whispering that it sounded like 1,000 leaves rustling at once. "Now I'm going to bang on the inside of my door and tell the goblins I'll let them know the magic spell they want," said Moonface. "As soon as they open the door, you must all pour out and either push them down the tree or take them prisoner."
"I say, I've thought of such a good idea," said Joe suddenly. "Let's push them all into this room of Moonface's and send someone down the tree to bolt the trapdoor. Then when they slide down thinking to escape, they'll all be nicely boxed up in the slide till we open the trapdoor and let them out. Then we can take them one by one and tie them up."
"That is a good idea," said Mr. Whiskers. "Two brownies had better go up the ladder that leads through the clouds to stop any goblins trying to escape that way, and six of us had better slide down to the foot to stop them escaping into the wood."
Six of the brownies at once took cushions and slid down the slippery slip. They shot out of the trapdoor and bolted it on the outside. They surrounded the foot of the tree, ready to prevent any goblins from escaping. The rest of them waited for Moonface to speak to the goblins outside. They were all tremendously excited. Moonface banged on the inside of his door. A goblin outside shouted to him,
"Stop that noise!"
"Let me out!" yelled Moonface.
"Not till you tell us any magic spell you know," said the goblin.
"I know a spell that will turn people into kings and queens," shouted Moonface.
"Tell us it then," said the goblin at once.
"Well, open my door," said Moonface.
There came the sound of a key turned in a padlock, and then Moonface's door was open. At once, the whole crowd of brownies poured out like a stream of water. Joe, Bessie, and Fanny went out with them, and when the goblins saw the crowd, they gave a yell and leapt down the tree to warn their friends. Two brownies leapt up to the ladder and sat there to prevent any goblins from escaping to the land above. Joe, Moonface, Bessie, and Fanny climbed quickly down the tree to let out all the people locked into their homes. How glad everyone was. Mother Washalot was very angry at being locked in.
"I'll teach those goblins to lock me in," she shouted, and the old dame picked up her wash tub and began to throw the water over all the goblins climbing about the tree.
What a shock for them. Joe couldn't help laughing. He unlocked Mr. What's-his-name's door, and out came What's-his-name, shouting and raging, followed by the saucepan man. What's-his-name seemed to be all fists, and he flew at the goblins and began to pummel them as if he were beating carpets. The saucepan man acted in a surprising manner. He took off one saucepan after another, one kettle after another, and threw them at the escaping goblins.
Crash, bang, clatter!
My goodness, he was a good shot. Fanny stopped and watched him in amazement. They let out the barn owl and the three owls that lived together. They flew at the goblins, screeching and hooting. The angry pixie was so very angry that he flew at Joe when he let him out, and Joe only just explained in time that he must fight the goblins and not him, Joe. Bessie let Silky out, but Silky was frightened by all the noise and shouting. Still, she managed to catch one goblin by tying him up with one of her curtains. Silky and Bessie then took the goblin up the tree and pushed him into Moonface's room. When he found the slippery slip, he slid down it in delight, thinking he could escape. But, alas for him, he stopped at the bolted trapdoor, and there he stayed, unable to climb up or to get out. Many other goblins were caught that way too. They tried to escape from the brownies by running down the tree to the wood, but when they found six strong brownies at the foot, they climbed up the tree again to escape into their own land at the top. And then, of course, they found two brownies on the ladder who pushed them down again. So into Moonface's house they went, hustled there by Joe, who took great delight in pushing them in. One by one, they tried to escape by sliding down a slippery slip, and soon the slide was crowded with goblins. piled one on top of the other. Dawn came and the sun shone out, lighting up the great branches of the enormous faraway tree. "Now we can see if any goblins are hiding anywhere," called Moonface, who was thoroughly enjoying himself. So he and the brownies and what's-his-name looked into every hole and corner behind every branch and tuft of leaves and pulled out the hidden goblins there. They were marched up to Moonface's room and pushed down the slippery slope. Soon there wasn't a single goblin left. They were all piled on top of one another in the slide, most uncomfortable and frightened. "There," said Moonface at last, pleased with himself and everyone else. "We've got them all safe. My word, I am hungry. What about having a good meal?" "Look," called Silky, waving to a lower part of the great tree. "The faraway tree is growing ripe plums just down there. What about having a feast of those?"
"Good," said Moonface.
"Squirrel, go down to the 6 brownies at the foot of the tree and tell them they can come up now."
"Hi, you 2 brownies on the ladder, you can come down."
"Silky, can you make some cocoa to drink? Plums and cocoa would make a lovely meal."
Just as they were sitting down to eat and drink, a strange figure came up the tree. He was thin and ragged and knobbly, but his face beamed as if he knew everybody.
"Who's that?" said Fanny at once.
"Don't know," said Moonface, staring.
"I seem to have seen his face before," said Bessie.
"He's a funny-looking creature," said Joe.
"He looks rather like a scarecrow to me."
The ragged man came up and sat down on a branch nearby. He held out his hand for a cup of cocoa.
"Who are you?" said Moonface.
"What's your name?" asked Silky.
"Play a game," said the thin man, beaming. "Yes, certainly. What game shall we play?"
And then everyone knew who it was. It was the old saucepan man without his kettles and saucepans. He'd thrown them all at the goblins, and now he had none left to wear.
"Saucepan, you do look different," said what's-his-name, hugging him. "I didn't know you. Come and have a plum."
The saucepan man looked alarmed.
"Hurt your thumb?" he said.
"Oh, I am sorry."
"No, I didn't say I'd hurt my thumb," said what's-his-name, roaring with laughter and clapping saucepan on the back. "I said, have a plum, a plum, a plum."
"Thanks," said the saucepan man, and put 2 large plums into his mouth at once.
"And now," said Moonface, when everyone had finished, "what about those goblins in the slippery slip?"
Right, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that story. All right, bye for now.